So, welcome everybody. So I probably remember like three names. So forgive me if I don't remember. So you're in class two of Meditation 101, if you want to know where you are. And I'm Jill. So you've already missed the grand introduction. You're just going to have to wing it with me tonight. Trust me. So just for a few things, so you know, I want you to feel really comfortable to get up and go to the bathroom that's just around the corner, or get some tea or water. You can feel free to get up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's my goal. Oh, God. Sit back a couple. Nuh-uh. Okay. All right. So cell phones on meditate. And usually I forget that, so let's all check. So who remembers the grand concept statement we had for last week of what is PMS? Do you remember? I know she remembers. Anybody else remember? No. Okay, Christine, what is it?
Positive mental state.
Yeah, teacher's pet. So positive mental states, that's what we're going for. So we all want to all agree that we would like to have a happier mind. Does anybody disagree with that? Okay. So who wasn't here last week? And who is not here that was here last week? That's just a trick question. See if you're awake. So we're just going to whip. We have a lot to do. It looks like last time I got halfway through, so my goal is to go try to get more done tonight. So I'll just whip through this. But it's important to look at the posture for those of you who have never done this before. You were asking me about the posture. Quickly, we'll just say that your legs are your base, and you want to sit nice and straight. But one thing I like to help people remind them, if they've never sat like cross-legged, give it a try, and then you can get up and move. So feel free to come down for the meditations, get back up, do whatever you'd like to do. But try stacking your feet instead of crisscross and put one underneath, because that cuts the circulation off. So sometimes people have never thought of that. You can try that. Your hands, you can have them on your legs like that. You can have them like that. In this tradition, we put them with the right hand on top of the left and the thumbs barely touching like you're holding a piece of paper. And then just letting it sit on your lap. And so you want to keep your arms nice and open so that you remember how the reasoning behind that. Do you remember? So you don't sweat. Because this way kind of makes it stick. You know, if you were really doing this for a long time, that gets kind of tight. So you kind of open up, let the air flow through. So the arms and the spine. So the spine is like a stack of coins, and you want to think of sort of rolling forward on your sit bones and then lifting up this way and then sort of through the back of the top of the head. So as if a marionette was hanging you, you would just sort of, your back would fall nice and straight. And so if I'd like to show this picture for that. See if I have it here. This is, I call, the downfall of the healthcare system. And I did this before Obamacare. But sitting with our bodies bent and everything, we crimp the straw here. So we cut off the circulation.
Thanks for not using the pictures in my house.
Right. We don't want to cut off the circulation to the breathing, or we don't want to cut off the circulation to the energy channel. So as soon as you kind of roll and crimp, you stop that breath. And most of your breath and oxygen come from down deep in the belly. So if you check it out and you're only breathing from here, you're missing a lot of the elimination of toxins of the breath, and you're missing the full breath that really is going to support your mental health as well, because if you don't get oxygen to the brain, doesn't feel very happy. So you notice if you get down, what happens? You know, the body starts to get really uncomfortable. So if you get the breath in, it actually is the first thing you can do to help yourself. Anybody, you don't have to give it away, but if you've ever been in therapy, what's the first thing a therapist says if you get really uncomfortable and you might be very emotional? You'd be giving away, nobody wants to say that. They usually remind you to breathe. Has anybody ever heard that? Like when we get really emotional, we basically stop breathing. Not for long, but it's very detrimental to our mental health. So I'd like to encourage you to wrong one. To breathe nice and deep from the belly. And then the head, so we're lifting up through the back of the top of the head. And in that way, your chin isn't going to be up. It's going to be down just a touch so that you're straightening out that cervical collar in the back. In the mouth, we have the tongue placed on the roof of the mouth. Who remembers the reasoning behind that? So you don't thirsty and so you don't drool. We're going for a long time here, for hours, but today we're going to start with minutes. And then your eyes are soft in your head. And I've encouraged people who are new to this to attempt meditating with their eyes open. As you'll see the grand example behind me, he's got his eyes slightly open. And so I've done this for quite a few years, and I'm very used to eyes closed. But if you're new, you might want to give it a whirl to slightly have your eyes open. Some people have said they actually went a little deeper. There's going to be every meditation's different, every person's different. But tonight, try eyes open, eyes closed. Just try not to focus. And that's the hard part for me. I just tend to look at what I'm looking at. So try that out. Okay, so let's just let's do a simple meditation that I didn't do the very first simple one last week, counting the breaths. So those of you who want to come to the cushions, you can try that now. And you can go back in a minute. Okay, so if you've never meditated at all, you're just going to relax and close your eyes. I'm going to guide you nice and gently and just follow along. So prepare your mind. Might take, if you have a busy mind, which most of us do, you can take a nice big breath and exhale through your mouth. You don't have a microphone, so it won't be as loud. And just imagine all that negative energy or any busy energy is actually exiting on that exhalation. And now focus your attention on your breathing. Just breathe naturally. And focus the mind on the rising and falling of your shoulders and chest as you inhale and exhale gently. Allow your mind to settle and become calm and present, ready to engage in meditation. As you'll learn, we create motivations at the beginning of every meditation. So create your own altruistic motivation that this meditation is not just for our own benefit, but we're taking the time to meditate and develop our minds to become wiser and kinder so that we can benefit many, many beings. So raise your own personal motivation and then just include as many beings as you can in that. It is said that the minute we plan to come to something that's beneficial, we're already working on our mind. So when you signed up for the class or even before when you thought about signing up and then you think about it during the week, all that energy is an amazing amount of energy towards benefiting others. Now you're here, ready to do the work. So start by focusing your attention at the opening of your nostrils. Pay attention to the very subtle sensations as you breathe in and out through your nose. You can feel a certain sensation as the air passes. The small hairs move. Cooler sensations as you inhale. And warmer sensations as you exhale. So try not to follow the air into your body or out into the surrounding area in your exhalation, but place your attention on the sensations associated with the breath at the opening of your nostrils. Your job is to keep your attention firmly placed on those sensations only. Over and over again, right there. As you inhale and exhale, mentally count on each inhalation and exhalation together as one. Just count from 1 to 10, concentrating on the sensations of the breath. When you reach 10, begin again at 1. So if you become distracted, if the mind wanders to other things, and moves away from the point of concentration, the breath, then just simply go back to one without any judgment. Even if you never get past two, it's not a problem. The point is to train your mind to focus on one point only. This concentration can bring great peace and quiet, but it takes time to practice and to attain this. If your mind is really wandering, you may try counting to 10 and then backwards to 1. Good. Now, dedicate your positive energy and insights to the well-being and happiness of all living beings. And gently bring your attention back. So, everybody looks relaxed. Okay, microphone dude, who wants to say how last week was? Did anybody have any? Did anybody give it a shot? Even a few times? So, does anybody have any questions? Anything arise that you were wondering about?
I have a problem when I concentrate on the breath to breathe relaxed. The moment I concentrate on the breath, I go, it's a rhythm or I have to do it in a certain way. Is there something I can do?
Well, did you take a nice big inhalation and kind of do that nice dumping exhalation like Geshe-la teaches? So you kind of... to sort of set it.
But the moment,
and then after you start...
But the moment I start, then it's like I get into a rhythm. And it's not the natural rhythm. It's like 1, 2, 1, 2.
Yeah. Anybody else have that problem? We've got some other people. Okay, so you're not alone. Let's see. What you could do is, in yoga, my yoga teacher, we do the complete yogic breath. How many of you have ever heard of that? Okay. So it's basically, and this is just, I'm just kind of winging this, but you might try to force, may not be the right word, but to attempt a specific thing to let it relax. So there's a couple things, because you know how to do 9 round, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to do that later, but... You would maybe give yourself something to literally focus on so that you would get into a rhythm and give it some time. It'll settle because it's just sort of nerves. Mm-hmm. And so the complete yogic breath is you let the belly really balloon out when you breathe in, as if you're filling up a vase. And then you bring it up to the middle lungs and the upper lungs. And the lungs go up to here. If you see electrodes on tonight, I'm wired for sound. Looks like I have a bomb on, but my heart's being monitored for 24 hours. So, I have so many wires come out of me. I know, it's kind of weird. So, the lungs come right up to here. So, when you breathe in really deep, it's kind of interesting to push into that. Try it. Right underneath the clavicle bone. And breathe up in all the way into that. Feel that expand a little bit? So, this might just help you give a little attention to something physical in your body so that you can... relax a little more. And then when you breathe out of the upper lungs, out of the middle lungs, and then you retract your belly slightly, kind of lets the exhale, the stale air go out. And in that way, it may be more focusing on it, but with a gentle rise and fall. Mm-hmm. You think that might help? Like a wave? There's lots of different breathing techniques. Instead of just... Is that what you're doing? Just kind of panting?
Alpha.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, what else? What else came up for people last week? Everybody loves to talk with the microphone. I know it's creepy, but we're safe here. No other questions? Okay, you can give that back to Chris. All right. So an important thing that we talked about last week was that you can't do this wrong, and I think it's always helpful for beginners to hear that. And the main thing that I found that was just the most helpful is all those years of teaching yoga, I thought that, like, I was leading the meditation at the end, but then when I was a student in there, we were doing shavasana, probably no laying on the floor. Some say savasana, tomato, tomato. So when you're trying to meditate, you know, and with that trying, I thought it was about having nothing happen in the mind. And so I felt like if anything came into the mind, I was a failure. And I hear this so much, it's almost scary. Does anybody else feel like you're supposed to have nothing going on? And if you can't stop your mind, you're not doing it right? Raise your hand. Go ahead. Be bold. Good. I mean, not good, but we're going to bust that myth. So that's not helpful to the mind. All it does is make you feel like you're not doing it right. Because all you're trying to do is look at the mind and become familiar with whatever's going on in there and then try to become familiar with something positive. So whatever's happening in the mind is your meditation. And it's okay. And then you're going to apply these techniques that are just ancient, thousands of years. We got some proof behind this that it actually works. It's not, as Geshe says, not made up yesterday or today. So let yourself be more gentle with yourself. And if the mind's going crazy, just don't judge it and don't get mad at it. I used to get kind of mad at it. Like, oh, for God's sake, forget this. And then until somebody actually, it was almost like they gave me permission to let the mind be crazy. How many people have a monkey mind? Who has a calm, peaceful, relaxed mind all day? You guys want to look around for a second? See? Okay. That's why we're here. So you can't do this wrong is really important. I think it's really helpful. And then setting the motivation. So we do that. If you did everybody try that this week? Set a motivation. I'm looking right at Sean. She's like, yes. 2 points. Okay. Now, let's see. Let's explore the differences in the complements to concentration and mindfulness. So it's concentration sounds like an overused word a lot because we say it so much, we need to concentrate. But especially when Geshe is teaching, he's focusing on it right now. I don't know if any of you are coming on Sunday morning. He's actually talking about compassion and concentration. And so until you actually can concentrate, it's difficult, isn't it, to get the mind to go where you want it to go? So peacefulness comes from being able to focus and concentrate. So when we can't, we get more agitated. It's just normal. That's normally how we feel all day long. So we're trying to learn that mindfulness is what you bring. You know that watcher? Come on in. You bring mindfulness to be able to concentrate. It sounds way overused, I know. But does that resonate with anybody? Anybody have any questions or comments on that? Okay. So you're learning and learning and learning to focus, and that's why we start with the breath, because we have it. It's going to be wherever we are. You're not going to probably run out of it until we do. And so you're always going to be able to have something to concentrate on. And even the Buddha used the breath over and over to concentrate on. So it's not just for beginners. That's usually when you're even doing long retreats, everybody starts with let's focus on the breath. And they usually say sometimes bring the mind home. Get the mindfulness going that we want to focus, and then learn to concentrate and go into your meditation. So, let's see. I'm just going over my notes. So when we did bare attention meditation, we did that last week. I'm just going to review that for a second. Christine, do you remember what that one was like? Yeah. Oh, that's right. Okay. She nailed it. Okay. So we remember that we were focusing on all the parts of the body, being aware of that. And then how we felt when the breath was down here, how we felt when the breath was up here. We did different things like that. And then bare attention. And then counting the breath is concentration. So it's really a little different. One, you're kind of working on something. You're looking at things. And one, you're just trying to concentrate. Does anybody want to ask the most overused question besides, what's the difference between being a doormat? That question, we get asked that all the time. It's a very good question. But the other question is, why is this so hard? Who's thinking that? Why is this so hard? In the back. I can't see, but I know someone's thinking, why is this so hard? Only one person in the whole room. Everybody else has got it. Sweet. We can stop early tonight. So does anybody wonder that? Like, why is it so hard to focus? It just seems like it should be a little bit easier, I think. And it's just the answer would be because we have so many years and years and years and years and years of not being able to focus. And now we're trying, and then we look right at the mind, and it just like, wah, kind of freaks out a little. So we're going to talk about obstacles at another time. Did anybody have any problems or obstacles they want to bring up? Usually people have stuff. There's nothing? Not a thing. Okay. Now, let's talk about the mind. So I have this. Is that the picture? Clear and knowing. So the definition of mind, and Buddhists love definitions. And that's the reason is because when we're going to debate, we're not going to debate in here, but if you were to have a really deep discussion, you need definitions to agree that we're starting from the same place. So the definition of mind is that which is clear and knowing. And it's very simple and very complicated. The essence of your mind, of everybody's mind, underneath all these layers of, call it what you want to, it is clear and knowing down in there. So it's kind of a hopeful feeling that we're just trying to get the clouds to move away. These obscurations, obstacles, attachments, all the things that we deal with every day are just thoughts that arise. I sometimes think that's kind of surprising. They feel so much like a part of us. But they're just a thought arising and it just becomes, it blows up into a story. And we talked about the difference between a thought and a story. So the thought is, I like to use the example of, I used the Jaguar last week, I'll use the same one. So I'm in my car driving, which is not a Jaguar, and I'm just at a stoplight and I look over and there's this like hot little Jaguar. Whew. What color is it, Christine?
I'm just seeing the middle-aged bald guy.
Yeah, don't look at the guy.
that bright orange.
Bright orange Jaguar. I think you get a discount in your insurance if it's bright orange too, right? Okay, bright orange. I wasn't going there, but now we are. So now we all have a bright orange Jaguar in our mind. So we just look over, and it's the first thing that comes into your mind is something like cool or, you know, what some kind of thought. So get your own little seed thought, but just the seed thought, the very first seed thought, and then just say them out loud. Wow. Fast. Yeah, nice. Whistle. Fun. What's the back got to say? True? No. Vroom. Good. So you've got some little seed thought, and it just, that's all that's happening, and it's very important to understand that there's just one little thought that arises. Now you can turn away from vroom, and you're done. You don't have to have another thought, right? Because you have control. Most of the time. Feels like we don't have control, but we have control. But if you start to say, I wish I had a car like that, we would label that attachment. And if I, why can't I have a car like that? There's label, you know, there's label for everything. I would like to have something nice before I die. You know, all these stories arise. Or maybe someone you knew got injured or killed in a car like that. Then you've got a whole other story happening. The person in there is going to bring another story out. And everything that happens after the seed thought comes up is a story. So clearly I want you to see the difference between a seed thought, I'm labeling it seed thought, but a seed thought and the volume of story that arises after that. Is that perfectly clear to anybody? Everybody? And it's easy to see it in the story, but can you see it in what happened today? Can you see some things that arose today that started out as a thought and turned into like, Chris already gave me an example, so he's already looking at me. Yeah, he's laughing at himself. But that's what happens, right? If you get, you may have a good example. Want to say something that happened today? This is such a quiet group. Is it because there's so many of you? Peter, you got one? Microphone. See, since I know him, I can say, Peter, tell me one.
I should tell my story. I went to this interesting old house today.
I was working on the house.
Yeah. And it sort of brought back memories. I found out the house was actually built in 1964.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And it sort of reminded me of houses like when I grew up, and you know, so it sort of takes you back, right? But interestingly enough, there were no stories after that. Walked around and looked around, and there was a lot of interesting stuff. But in the last year, we've tried to get rid of a lot of stuff. So I was not interested in taking any home or...
It's an estate sale I'm doing.
Yeah, right, right.
So you could stop it.
Yeah, yeah, I could... Detach from it. Right, just look at it and say, yes, this is interesting, and then move on.
Good. Okay, that's a good example of what we're kind of trying to do. Now somebody tell me something that didn't. Okay, Autumn has one in the back where it maybe didn't go quite that smoothly. 100 layers and layers.
Okay, so I left the house early this morning. I've been gone all day. And I knew that I was going to come here tonight for Meditation 101. And when I got here, there was very few cars here. And then I came up and realized the door was locked. So the seed thought, I guess, was, oh, the door's locked. But then it was like, well, maybe I got the wrong day. Or why was I shopping all day? I should have went home and checked my calendar. And, oh, I need to get more organized at home. And then, oh, well, all these other people are here. Maybe it just got canceled. Nobody told us.
Oh, anger, everything.
So, I mean, it just went on and on and on, you know. And it was, I mean, I had no negative thought to it, but it just
ballooned. That's a good example. That's a good example, right? Is that kind of what we do during the day? Yeah. And it doesn't ever really lead to anything happy. It just kind of leads to ruminating. Yeah, so that's a really great way to look at it. If we could let things arise, recognize that they're arising, it's really important to be able to recognize that it's just a thought arising. Even if it's really painful, it's still just a thought arising. And if you can see it like that, you can just sort of do what Peter did, is just kind of let it just, I don't need stuff, I don't want to buy anything, I don't want more stuff. Reminded you of your dad a little, and it didn't really go into anything too negative. It just, you know, nice gentle reminder, what you went through and you're done with it. So, good. Thanks, Autumn. Thanks, Peter. That's a good way to look at it. So, let's see. Where are we? Clear knowing. And it's not the brain. So, it's kind of, sometimes it's kind of surprising for people. I think that since this module's been written, we've neuroplasticity, we talked about things, and it's everything's been so much... Let's see. What's a good way to say that? Everything has come to the light more, so we know a lot more than we used to know. But... does anybody have a question about that the brain and the mind are not the same? Sometimes that still kind of throws people. That the brain is the gray matter, is what we use, and the mind is where everything, you know, is working. And then the mind is, you can't quite touch it. Yeah. Here comes the mic. And we use the mic so that people that are viewing that at home can hear. Without it, it just sounds like me going, oh, cool. And there's nobody's saying anything. So
yeah.
Put it real close to your mouth.
Would Buddhists say, though, that the brain influences the mind, though?
Mm-hmm. Everything, they're together. I mean, they work together, but they're still separate.
So does that mean that you can have states of consciousness that don't rely on the brain?
We have to have the brain as the platform. So when we have to have the basis is, and that's why we're human, so we have this human brain, and that's why we can do so much work, because we have a mind and a brain that can, what's the way Venerable Tenjin used to say it? Do you remember how she used to say, not the platform, but it's the support, like a quality support system for the mind to be able to do the work. But you remember when we talked about neuroplasticity? That's happening in the brain.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
How do they know then that brain and mind are separate? Then?
Because it's there's one like watching, and in the brain there's not really a, it does get complicated, but there's not really a watcher. The mind is what's watching, and the brain is the, that's a good word for that. the tool. I have this. I used to say the one's the symphony, the conductor. The brain is the symphony, and the mind is the conductor. Kind of things like that.
Okay.
So they're working in tandem, of course, but it is kind of confusing. But in the neuroplasticity for the new people, we talked about filling in those grooves that happen in the brain of a habituated practice of being able to dribble a basketball. If you started when you were young, you're probably pretty good at it. You might be able to go all over the place while people are talking to you. But it is practice, and some are better than others. And if you never do it again, you probably are going to get worse at it, but you kind of keep the idea of it. But a lot of people think of the things that of habits sometimes as negative habits, but it's the same as playing the piano or killing bugs or all those things. They're just habits. And whatever you do a lot of, you're going to get better at. So if you practice the piano, you're going to get better. If you bake great brownies, you're going to get better. And if you practice yelling, you're going to get better. And that's not so comfortable to hear for everybody. But whatever you practice, you get better at. It usually makes everybody go, wow. Does that kind of answer your question?
Is it, I've heard a metaphor, and it says something like, the mind is, you know, if the brain was a radio, the mind is the radio waves.
Yeah, good.
The radio doesn't actually make the radio waves, but it just sort of...
Yeah, and that's a good one to remember, to think of. If there's country music and rock and roll and R&B and reggae, they're all right here, aren't they? It's kind of, like, surprising. I mean, we know radio waves are everywhere. So if we put a radio down and we tune it in and we decide we want to play a little reggae, we aren't picking up R&B. We're picking up reggae. But it's all still there. And so who's controlling that? Your mind is controlling the basis. And you're saying, I want to listen. And so you made a choice. I want to listen to reggae. I do not want to listen to country. I swear, I do not want to listen. And so it doesn't pick up country because it's decided not to. But if country keeps coming in, it just takes some practice to move it away and only pick up what you want. That's a good analogy. Thank you for remembering it. That take care of it? Anybody else have a brain and mind kind of thing they want to throw out?
I thought of something, Jill.
Okay.
This is kind of gross. Well, not really. But like the brain...
Go, Chris.
Your mind is here and it wants to do things, but the mind can't control the meat package that this karma has thrown your consciousness into.
So you know we have to have the...
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we gotta have somebody that's got to conduct the symphony. A lot of times it feels like there's no conductor. All right.
Yes.
Freeform jazz, which makes me crazy. Not that I don't like it. Okay, so if the mind is the one that's coming up with everything and the thoughts are rising and you're trying to get control over it, what we're trying to see is that the mind is the source for everything that's positive and or happy and everything that's suffering. And it just doesn't seem like there's a choice there. But, I mean, I think intellectually you understand that there is, right? There's a choice. It feels like something's happening to you, but it's actually a choice that you have. And it's a very important place to make that distinction. That it's something is, you know, I think what we heard in the 80s a lot of is, you can't make me happy, only I can make me happy, and you can't make me sad, only, you know. It doesn't come from the other person. It's your choice what's happening, and it's your mind. There's nothing else happening other than in your mind. It's your perception of everything that's happening. So it's not happening outside there, but it feels like it is.
When you're not meditating, is it important to...
Where did my...
When you're not meditating...
Mike guy walked away. Run, Chris. Fast walk.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I know we're talking about stopping the story when we're mm-hmm. meditating, but are we also trying to talk about an everyday, regular life? Because in some cases, wouldn't it be a good thing? Because that's sometimes where creativity comes from, your ideas come from, your mind just going off in different...
Good question. She's making the artist go, Yeah, but it's a very difficult place to be when we can't control it.
I know.
It's very difficult when it feels like it's just got you and you don't have it.
So we're talking when times we probably should be concentrating at work, driving, mm-hmm. things like that, not when we're just lolling around and trying to think.
But, I mean, the goal is that eventually to become enlightened, if that's your goal, and that our mind is completely focused on benefiting others 24/7. And so to get there, and you'll see me do this a lot, it's like, I don't have control over anything. I'm out there murdering and mayhem, and then here I'm enlightened. There's a lot in between, and we've all fall somewhere in between there, and we go back and forth and back and forth in each moment. So if you want to get to here, you have to be able to concentrate. And if you were taking your meditation off the cushion, so the meditation is where we practice how we want to actually be in our day-to-day, to answer your question. So you're trying to bring that mindfulness and the ability to be able to concentrate to your relationships. Because if someone's looking at you and talking, you want to be able to listen. And you want to be able to be in every moment. And if you ever really, really, I mean like really tried to be mindful, like leaving a mindfulness weekend and you're like, I'm going to do it, I'm driving home. Look, there's a squirrel. Lovely tree. Nice grass. Road. Gravel. Like, it's really funny. I'm mindful of the world. But it was like childlike mindfulness, and it was humorous. I was just trying to be right there in the moment. So it's a little bit richer. But you can be driving along and thinking of the millions of beings that are around you in the air and in the grass, and just, you can be completely mindful of that. If you're happier, then everybody around you is going to be happier. You can bring mindfulness to every moment, and your ability to concentrate, they go hand in hand, to be able to bring it to there and hold it. So it's the holding it that's difficult. It's why the mind goes off when we try to count. Did anybody have to go back to two quite often? One, I mean, back to one. I got to three, yay. So, good. Did that answer your question? Sort of, okay. We all know. So, mind is comparable to an ocean, and one good way to look at it is the ocean is there. It's labeled an ocean, but the waves are on top. The waves aren't down underneath. And so the waves can be tumultuous or calm. Everything can happen on the surface, but it doesn't really affect the water underneath. And we all know the feeling of when you dive under, why it's so amazing underwater. Because it's just so peaceful. And there's no radio waves hitting you. The waves aren't hitting you. It's just this wonderful world of calm and peace, which is, I think, how a lot of us would like our minds to be. So if you think of the waves, like when you begin to meditate, and if you let the thoughts be like the waves, then they can just go and do their own thing. They're gonna keep coming because you're alive. You can't just go, no. It's really hard to do that. So you let them just come, and you let them flow. But you go underneath, and they kind of lose some of their power because you're not paying attention to them. It's very similar to a 5-year-old child in a grocery store. Who's been around someone else's child going, Mom, 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 Mom. And it, I mean, what do you want to do? Well, don't some you might want to say, shut up. You might want to do something. But as a mother to another child, I want to say, what? What? What do you need? You want to answer it. And if you answer it, it kind of stops. You just say, I recognize the thoughts are coming, and now I'm going to go back to my meditation. So that's what the mind feels like, doesn't it? That someone's just coming at you and drilling you with things. Okay, so the mind is also like, we did like the sky, so the thoughts and emotions are like clouds passing through. But your mind is clear and knowing, and like the blue sky, those clouds are not, they're in the sky, but they are not the sky. That can be like a moment for some. They are in the sky, and they're going to move through, and they're going to keep coming, they're going to keep queuing up, because it's a sky, and it's a system, but they're not the sky. So your mind is your mind, and the thoughts are not your mind, but we feel like we're completely connected to it. But the thoughts, you just let them pass through, and they lose a little bit of their stickiness. So we're going to do two meditations. It's kind of fun. One's about the ocean and one's about the mind. And your goal is to just kind of discover which one you like, what works for you. In our ordinary perceptions, our thoughts and feelings seem to be all there is to our mind, one thought, feeling, image, or an idea after another. All these mental contents seem to fill up our minds completely as if our minds are small, finite containers. But this is an illusion, a misperception on our parts. Our minds are vast, infinite, clear, and spacious. Our minds have no boundaries, no limits. When we experience the vast, clear spaciousness of our mind, the clarity of our awareness, we begin to see how our thoughts and feelings are like clouds in the sky, simply passing through this vast, spacious awareness, but not filling it up. Suddenly we have some space from the endless attachments, aversions, and dissatisfactions of life. So check back into your breathing. Have your spine nice and straight. And I forgot to mention, if you're sitting on a chair, lean forward just a touch so that you're not actually leaning on the back, so that you're sitting nice and straight. Place your focus back on your breath, breathing naturally. Settling your mind down. Bringing it to a state of deeper focus and concentration. And then create your motivation for this meditation. That you're not just benefiting for your own benefit, not just meditating for your own benefit, but that you're taking the time to meditate, to become wiser and kinder, much more able to benefit all beings. Begin by practicing the bare attention, just placing your focus on the base of your body and bringing that energy up. And letting the energy move back down. Keeping your attention on your breath. And when you gain a little deeper level of concentration and focus, loosen your concentration slightly and emphasize the element of mindfulness in your meditation a little more strongly. So allow your mind to be attentive and observant of whatever comes to notice, regardless of what it is. So we're looking at our thoughts. So don't identify with the mental elements arising. Simply observe them. Watch them like a tourist. Allow them to arise as you observe them and pass away without getting involved in them. Just be aware. And now allow your mindful attention to expand, to encompass your entire sphere of existence, sphere of experience, of consciousness. Now forget that there's an observer and something being observed, and simply imagine your experience, your consciousness, as being just like the sky. Completely clear, vast, spacious, without end. Concentrate on this experience and identify with it. My mind is clear, spacious, and aware. As our minds are completely clear, the light of the sun shines down on us through this clear sky, and our awareness and wisdom shines through the clarity of our minds. Sometimes clouds fill the sky and obscure the sunshine. But the sky doesn't get upset. The sky doesn't identify with the clouds. The sky doesn't judge. The clouds just pass through the spaciousness of the sky. They come and they go. The clarity and spaciousness of the sky isn't compromised by the clouds. They just arise and pass. When a thought or an emotion, an idea or an image or a sensation arises in your mind, observe it, let it arise, and let it pass. Each thought, each mental event, just like a cloud. Your mind, the sky, concentrate on that experience of space and bliss. Whenever we identify with and are carried away uncontrollably by a thought or a feeling, we lose any awareness of the spacious clarity of our mind, of the vast, clear, and knowing nature of the mind within which each thought or feeling occurs. Our perspective then becomes small and constricted, as if all there are clouds. We've simply lost the sky. We lose that wonderful open spaciousness. When we can simply observe these thoughts and feelings arising without getting involved, when we can identify with the sky instead of with the clouds, then we can reside in that spacious purity of our basic clarity of mind. Calm, clear, peaceful, without agitation, without delusions, without anxiety and distress, without dissatisfaction, attachments or aversions. Everybody have a good nap. I like that one, I think. Did you like that one? Good job. No, that's good.
I went for about 10 seconds where really there was nothing there.
Awesome.
But then I had the thought, wow, I've gone for like 10 seconds. When I realized it, that's brilliant.
And Jesus fell in, or what, who? Peter fell into the water, right? okay, is Chris still in here? Yeah. So, does anybody have any moments that, I mean, like, does anybody want to ask any questions or comment on that one? Because a lot of people really like that one. Did you like that one? Good. Who wants to say anything about that? Was there a hand up over there? Yep. Oh, good. I missed it. Oh, there you are.
Thank you.
Hey.
Hi. What I really liked about it best is that there was no judgment when my mind started to think the thoughts.
Good.
And just to be able to kind of separate myself, to pull back from it and just see it float by.
Yeah.
Instead of judging myself and trying to smash it down and lock in and focus on the breath all over again.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Didn't that feel free?
Much better. Yes. Much, much better.
Good, good. Who else had a nice experience right there?
Yeah, it was funny because, I started watching it and it was a lot more hectic than I thought it was. You know, a lot of things at the same time were happening. But on another level, I didn't judge it and there was a sort of calm.
Good,
you know?
Good.
Even
That's
though
great.
I could see it was going crazy there. It was calm on another level.
You let the 5-year-old just yell.
Yeah.
You paid attention to it. You gave it, but you didn't really focus on it.
Yeah.
I'm aware of you. Yeah, good. Who else? Okay. So we'll do the ocean one. What did I hear
what,
in there?
What is that called, though, that meditation?
Oh, because remember, you pull these up for homework there on the website. Meditation on the mind like the sky. It's number 5.
That's not bare attention?
No. We started off like that just to...
Okay.
And then we move into it, to this one. Let's see. The clouds don't get upset. The sky doesn't get upset that the clouds obscured the sun. I thought that was great. So can you think about how that could relate to something in your life? Today, maybe? Like, something comes up. If you really completely relate it, something arises, and then you just look at it, and you don't give it really any judgment, but you just look at it like maybe, wow, that person's really upset. You think about how they're doing, but you don't really you don't have to really get involved and engaged. You can be with them, and it doesn't have to upset you. You're just sort of there. You're the sky. You're okay, and it can arise and come and pass and leave, all without you having a tantrum. It could happen. Like Peter, he walked into the house, he looked at everything, and then he left. You know, it's a good metaphor. Did you like that one, Christine?
Yeah, I like it. I like, because I can see, if my thoughts go, I keep thinking of it expanding, getting bigger, like the universe, so I'm not stuck here. I can keep forcing my mind out.
Good.
It's like visualizing the merit field or offerings when they're supposed to be.
Like the Harry Potter. Yeah, big. Good. All right, let's do it again with the ocean. Yeah. Then float. Okay, so we're already kind of focused, so we'll just move into the motivation. Create your motivation. Think that maybe you're meditating not just for your own benefit, but for all those beings who need help, so that you are going to become more wise and kind to benefit them. So again, start with a sort of a bare attention of being aware of your body, letting it settle on the cushion. Letting your breath drop down to the belly, just being aware of the body and the breath. You can count your breaths or do any kind of breath meditation you may know to bring your focus home. Sometimes I remind my students they could begin each meditation like they ended their last, so it just feels like this grand continuum. So with that nice softness, you can just melt back into that place. And once you gain a deeper level of concentration and focus, loosen your concentration slightly. Again, emphasizing the element of mindfulness in your meditation a little more strongly. Allow your mind to be attentive and observant of whatever comes to notice, regardless of what it is. But don't identify with the mental elements arising. Again, observe them like a tourist. And let them pass away without getting involved, just being aware. And then again, let your mindful attention begin to expand to encompass your entire sphere of experience, of consciousness. Forget that there's an observer and something being observed. And then simply imagine your experience and your consciousness as being like the sky. Open it up again. Let it be calm and clear and spacious. And now we begin, for the mind can be likened to an ocean, and the thoughts and other mental events to the fish swimming through the clear, spacious medium of the water. We are ordinarily unaware of the nature of our mind and instead observe only the fish-like thoughts. It is as though we were observing an aquarium through a large glass wall, and at first we only notice the fish. But if someone were to tell us to observe the clear water in which the fish were swimming, we might first have difficulty noticing it just because it's transparent. But we soon realized the fish couldn't swim unless there was some substance to swim in. So then we take our attention away from the fish and focus instead on the water. So in a similar fashion, we let go of paying attention to our fish-like thoughts. Step back and recognize the clear, light nature of our mind within which all thoughts and other mental events occur. Let your mind be like the ocean with clear spaciousness. In our ordinary state of mind, as we go about our business every day, having conversations, planning, thinking, worrying, making lists, and so on, it's as if we're living on the surface of the ocean. All those thoughts and feelings and ideas seem to fill our minds, making a lot of waves, turbulence, and agitation. But as we identify more and more with the ocean-like mind, and we let go of the wave-like emotions and fish-like thoughts, it's as if we start to descend to the quiet depths of the ocean-like mind. We reach a state of mind that is more peaceful, still, free of agitation and disturbance. In the case of the aquarium, we will continue to see the fish swimming in front of us as we focus on the water. However, when we focus our attention on the clear light nature of the mind, our thoughts will begin to diminish in intensity and frequency, thereby quieting the mind and enhancing our ability to concentrate. Whenever we identify with and are carried awake uncontrollably by a thought or a feeling, we lose the awareness of the spacious clarity of our mind, of the vast, clear, and knowing nature of the mind within which each thought or feeling occurs. Our perspective becomes small and constricted. It's as if all there are waves. We've lost the ocean, and we've lost the plot. We lose that open, quiet spaciousness. But when we can simply observe these thoughts and feelings arising without getting involved, when we can identify with the ocean instead of the fish, then we can reside in that spacious purity of our basic clarity of mind, without agitation, without delusions, without anxiety, without distress. dissatisfaction, attachments, and aversion. Do you like that one, Peter?
Yeah.
Which one do you like better? You have the microphone, Chris? Peter. Oh, Peter, sorry.
I think that one's a little more concrete, you know, because you can picture an aquarium and all. When you think of the sky, you know, it's just kind of out there, sort of abstract. So I think when you're thinking about your mind, you know, it, to me it's more like a river that just keeps flowing. You know,
water's never the same.
Things
yeah.
float down it, and sometimes there's waves, and sometimes it's calm. So I think the one with the aquarium, and it's the medium. You know,
yeah.
Yeah, the fish are floating through the medium.
Right. Good. That sometimes it's kind of funny. Someone raised a point that we think of the fish in the water, and we know they live in the water. It's really obvious. But this is our water. I mean, this is what we live in. It's just the other, you know, this is our aquarium. It's kind of weird, isn't it? And where does the sky begin? This is not a... Well, that's the point. The sky begins at your feet. My friend's grandmother wrote that, and I used to make cards, and I used it on a card with her permission. Sky begins at your feet. Sky begins right there.
Did you want to see the fish?
Did I want to see the fish?
You said, yeah, it makes sense to me because there's things in these fish going by, and there's not, it's not that concrete in the
sky.
Yeah, it's, but you're still detached, you know. It's like things just float by. And sometimes there's interesting fish and sometimes not so interesting. And
that's what I find.
Yeah.
So how many people like the sky better? Not the sky, but the sky meditation.
Huh.
How many people like the ocean meditation better? Oh, it's about half and half. Yeah. You have a question. Could you pass the mic down? Or comment?
I actually liked it, but I have a phobia.
You
of
put
fish.
It real close to me.
I liked it. Oh. I have a phobia of fish, so I was really eager to not
to not teach. That's good. That
so
helped.
Gave me some motivation.
Yeah, if we get darker and darker.
But then it got dark. Yeah. Heavy and scary.
Yeah, but then it was kind of nice because I was kind of trying to detach myself from any feeling about the fish. Every time you said fish, it was like, oh no.
No. I don't want it. Yeah, sometimes you can play with your mind, like you can bring light into your meditation. You can imagine the sun is shining through the water and it's it's getting brighter. So I think the interesting thing about that is to just really notice it's not really more concrete. I mean, it can be to some, but it is a cloud's moving away, the fish are moving away, but it's the idea that we aren't attached to that. So I had an interesting weekend. What is today? Tuesday. So I had an argument with my boyfriend this weekend, and it was, you know, just good. We're both practicing, so we were like, you know, it's just a thought. I know, you know, it's funny. Like, I know it is, but it still hurts. So, but if you can really get to that, and we can laugh about it, it doesn't mean we don't kind of go through it, but we go through it quicker because it is just a thought. I mean, like, it really is just a thought. I think what he's thinking, but I don't really know what he's thinking. But it doesn't really matter because it's like I can just stop attaching to the thought that's arising. And I can, if I just loosen up a little bit, like you feel when you actually are meditating, did you feel, you know, you get a little quiet, relaxed and loose. But if you can just take that off the cushion and look at someone that you love and go, I know, it's just a thought. It doesn't really mean particularly anything. Doesn't mean they don't feel like they hurt, but the hurt is just a thought. The anger is just a thought. Whatever comes up, is that just sometimes a little surprising? Anybody? They're just thoughts. But they feel like they're so tangible, and they feel like they hurt. Well, there's a choice. I have a choice to hurt or not. It literally is a choice. So, anybody have any comments more on the sky and the ocean over here?
What do you do when you know, sometimes when you meditate, you can lose track of time, and that's like where you're supposed to be. But sometimes you just like can't relax, and there's just like a pressure in your temple or skull. I don't know, it's different for different people at different times. But, you know, when you kind of can't lose track of time, what kind of tips
would you
offer?
When you can't get your mind to just... Chill out.
Or like you can't, you know, some if you're meditating properly, like an hour goes by and like you're like, oh, that was quick.
Well, one thing too, and this could be surprising for a lot of people, is it isn't about just chilling and just letting it all kind of be floaty and get real away. You actually are trying to focus on something in this tradition. So, you know, like you're not saying daydreaming, really, are you? You're saying you're meditating and it just feels like an hour could be a minute could be an hour, kind of like it.
Yeah.
No sense of time, kind of. Right. I just want to kind of clarify that we're not trying to just go, we're trying to apply that concentration to something. So frequently, that's my problem. And I think for most of us, does anybody else have the problem of not being able to calm down? Raise your hand if you have a problem with that. See, look. Yeah. So we're all there. And a couple things, you want to do a little bit of both. So you want to be gentle and be firm, just like if you were a good parent. You want to apply some gentleness when it's time and be firm when it's time. So, you know, don't just jump up and say, oh, for God's sake, I can't do this right away. Try never to do that, because it's creating a dissatisfaction with your with the cushion and the area that you're meditating in. But try to be gentle, too, and say, you're okay. You're fine. Talk to yourself and say, everything's fine. These are just thoughts. I'm just feeling attached to them right now, you know. What are you feeling? And then the feelings are actually transitory too, but they can be so strong. And sometimes I can't get it to calm down. So I may just stop and make a conscious decision. I'm going to stop right now and I'll pick this up later because I'm over the top. And in that way, I've had where I need to place compassion, I've actually placed it on myself. And that's kind of, is that kind of hard to do sometimes?
No, I just think like physically sometimes it's hard to like...
It's just going...
Like if your temple, you have like a squeezing in your skull or something, you know.
Oh, you mean like it's just really physical, a physical
feeling
of tightness?
Yeah, not like your thoughts, you know, not like you're attached to your thoughts. Or it's just like you're like a tense person.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I'm going to encourage you just with the breath work and really letting the breath loosen you up. That breath is going to expel a lot of that negative kind of tightness that you have. And you are kind of choosing to squeeze even though you feel like you can't stop, maybe, right? Okay. So it's like you just have to apply all the antidotes you can think of to say, I can be softer, I can relax. You can pause the concentration. If you have decided you want to meditate on mind like the sky, but the mind is going crazy, then, you know, maybe pause your meditation and just say, I'm going to take just a second to regroup here. I'm going to breathe for another minute, settle back down, you know, focus. And you can do a lot of different things, like just simply imagining the energy is coming out of your head. So look up the bare attention online, because remember when we brought up the attention last week and then we brought it back down? You might just have the energy kind of too high in the head. You might literally want to just think of whatever kind of trick you want to use and just say, just let it relax, let it relax. Good. Anybody else have a comment? There's Autumn N right here. She's right in the middle, yeah. And then we'll come right to you.
Sometimes for me, if I have a situation where I'm like really high strung on and I try and meditate, meditation is not working for me. I'm only focusing on that high energy, usually negative thing that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this is an appropriate suggestion, but for me, if I go out and do some power walking or exercise in some way and then come back and meditate, my mind is much calmer and I can fall into that meditation.
You have to get rid of some energy first?
Yeah, I do.
You have to do something physical first?
Yeah.
Okay, that might help. A lot of people are nodding. Yeah. Okay, thanks. And up here. What's your name? You have to wait for the... I know, it's frustrating.
Thank you. This is my first day here, so I'm wondering, I've noticed twice when you've been guiding us through the meditations, and I've sort of drifted into it, I've stopped breathing, like I'm holding my breath.
Yeah.
Is that pretty?
Well, we talked about that, like, when you get emotional, but it is interesting to do it in meditation.
And then I have to...
Have you meditated much before?
No.
Okay, that's all it is. Okay. You're just, it's just so new that
okay,
you're just like...
Just holding my breath.
Yeah, you're paying so much attention to what I'm saying that you're like, oh, wait.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
I think...
Would counting keep counting, mm-hmm. making sure I'm counting the breaths?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I think that's perfectly... All kinds of weird things happen in the beginning because it's so new. And your nervous system is like, what are you doing? What are we doing now? I don't like this. It's too still. It's kind of screaming sometimes. I mean, different than you're saying hold breath, but I'm... You know, sometimes it just, it's just not a used to being so quiet. I taught meditation, well, it was really yoga, but they were in Shavasana at the end. And it's a woman in town who is high, powered, and charged all day long. I mean, she probably goes to sleep like this. And so she got in Shavasana, and I'm guessing she has never, ever been that calm before in her life. And I was doing my little talk, you know, my counselor voice is on. And she was so chilled out. And so I didn't know this. And so at the end, you know, I usually say, like in yoga, and now bring your attention back to the room. Everybody's probably heard this, you know, increase your breathing, wiggle a toe or finger, roll into your side and curl up in a ball. Push yourself up with your hand. Well, nobody moved. She didn't move. I only had, it was private yoga, her and another friend. They didn't move. They didn't move. And I'm like, oh, my God. So you, I know that you don't want... They're gone. I know that you don't want to... one thing you don't want to do is rattle anybody in yoga as a teacher because you could really... you know, I don't know what's cooking here, so... So deepen your breathing. And wiggle a toe or a finger. And I just keep going on. So bring yourself back and deepen your breathing. And I'm like, oh my God. Finally, I just sort of gently touched her and she went... And sprung up, and she looked like what just happened? And I really think she just had never stopped and slowed down, ever. So she probably hits the bed as it goes to sleep, gets up, and gets to work. I don't think she probably ever meditated again. That was like her only experience. Who knows what happened? But, you know, I think that anything can happen in the beginning, and you really have to be gentle with yourself because we talked about, or did I talk about all the kind of weird signs that can happen? Like you can hear, you can hear a ticking really loud. Your body parts can kind of disappear. Just strange things happen. And it just lets you know that you're getting deeper and deeper and to not get attached to that because that's not the purpose of that particular any meditation. It's just to ignore those, keep going. Good, thank you. Eventually you'll pass out and you'll wake up. You'll be fine. You might need to have one of those buttons. I've stopped breathing and I can't get up. Okay. So we have 15 minutes left. Again, this is worse than the time before. Let's whip through here and see what's really cool. Delusions of the mind. That's kind of, we've talked about all that. Well, you know, what's happening is that you're saying we're kind of identifying ourselves with, say, anger. Buddhists always use anger. Does anybody want me to throw another one out there? Attachment. How about that? Okay. You know, they always talk about being angry in the car. It's like a real common scenario. It happens to a lot of people. But say attachment arises and we find I am attached to something. I want something. So that's another thing you can do is not identify with what's arising with yourself. Yeah, don't buy it. Well, you mean literally. She means literally. Take your finger away from the iPhone. Don't buy it. I thought you meant a lovely meditation metaphor, but she just means don't buy it. But it works great with attachment. Yes, it works as a metaphor. It's good. So these negative thoughts can pass through without engaging, as we're speaking about, and I like to think of that as like talking to a teenager. Because they're gonna have a lot of stuff arising. I know there's a couple teenagers in there, and the folks are like, yeah. So lots of stuff can be arising, but you guys don't actually have to be completely involved in it, right? I mean, you might hear words like, I see that, it's got some eyes there. I see that you're upset, honey. You know, those kind of that kind of language. You can do that to yourself because you're trying to disengage from it a little bit. So you can kind of talk to yourself like, I get that you're upset. I get that you feel attached, but we're not going to buy into that. We're going to, just like when you're teenage, when you're new to having a teenager, when they get upset, like you kind of get all rolled up in it. It's so new to you. And then eventually you learn like, okay, we're all going to have short fuses and just, it's too much energy. So the parent can kind of cool it a little bit and let the child have their feelings. And then the child can come back to you and feel safe. So that's what you can do to yourself. Does that make sense? You like that one? She likes that one. So Pema Chodron says, one of my pictures is don't bite the hook. It's like that simple. But have you heard of Pema Chodron before? And it's one of her books, but it's really true because just because the hook's there doesn't mean we have to go pretty and shiny. My sister-in-law told me that one of my nephew has a pretty intense ADD and the other one doesn't. And they were kind of teasing about him and he said he likes pretty shiny things sometimes. And they lost him in the store and they said, where's Mitchell? And he said, oh, he's probably looking at something shiny. And he was standing in a window just like looking at a wheel going around, looking at something shiny. You know, so he's focusing, but that's like a hook. So if you kind of think about like if you're getting hooked by something, you really don't have to bite the hook just because it's dangling and it's got a beautiful juicy worm on it. You don't have to grab it. So we probably don't have time to divide into pairs. We'll have to do that another time. But I'm going to quickly do this just because it's so fun. Everybody loves this one. Peter's heard it a ton of times. The brownie. So how many people love them some brownies? Usually when I have a small class, they get brownies. I'm really sorry. You're just going to have to imagine the brownies because it makes them really get involved in it. But so just imagine the brownies are right here in front of you and you can smell the chocolate. And who actually doesn't even like them? We have some. 4 or 5 people. That helps a lot because then we can obviously start to see what's going on here. It's not too tricky, but is the brownie delicious? If it was inherently delicious, if deliciousness was all involved, the Buddhists always use chocolate things. If the brownie was delicious, then if it was inherently delicious and it existed in a state of deliciousness, what's your name? Yannicka doesn't. Particularly, she's not too excited about the brownie. Sean's not too excited about the brownie. And it's Chantel. Not too excited about the brownie. Who else? Okay, that's the only ones. It's the only weirdos in the room. So if it's true that the brownie is inherently delicious and they're convinced that this thing is delicious, then of course you guys would love it. We don't know why you don't love it, but they don't. So, and if it was true that it made you really happy, does it make you feel kind of good to eat a warm brownie fresh out of the oven? Yeah, feels good. It brings a sense of temporal happiness. This is true if you like them. But if it was true that it really did make you happy, like really happy, then if you had that many brownies, probably can't see the detail in the back. I Googled mountain of brownie. Try it. It will make you do what this woman's doing, which is going. So if it's true that would make you really happy, then this would give you sweet! Christmas sister's here. Another angle. If it's true that this would make you really happy, then this would make you feel you'd practically be freaking enlightened if you had this many brownies. If this made you truly happy, then the bliss would be unbelievable. Now, they don't even feel bliss over this. But I've had women who are like, I'm like, one, yeah, two, yeah. They keep going. I'm really, you can't eat 10. Mm-hmm. So who thinks 15 brownies would make them really happy? Oh, we got a couple in the back. 20? 30? at some point, it really is going to make you kind of nauseous. And so you do this to help yourself understand if that's where happiness came from, then this doesn't actually lead to happiness because then that would. Now, so if deliciousness is in the brownie, then everyone would like it. We've all agreed that that's not true. So where does the deliciousness exist? In the mind. And so that is so fascinating. It's not that it's that difficult. But if that's true, what's your name? Who said mind? Which one of you? Chris said mind. Somebody over here too. So if that's true, Chris thinks that the deliciousness exists in your mind, then the brownie doesn't actually have any deliciousness in it. I mean, just think about it for a minute. You're taking a big bite, but it's not in the thing. Because they know it's not. Not in the thing. Okay, so we got that cooking, so put that Seinfeld world, cook it over here, just keep it going. Now, if I choose to, yeah, what's your name? Robert. If I'm just reading you the riot act and I'm just giving Robert like, oh, for God's sake, Robert, couldn't you clean your room at all? Can you pick your underwear up off the floor? And I'm just yelling at him. Where does the anger actually exist if he gets pissed off? Like you get hot. You're like, oh, my God, if she's more time, you're really getting frustrated. And I'm yelling at you. Where does that exist? The wife's going, it's in your mind. I'm yelling, and it looks as if I'm angry. Now, what if she knows me really well? She's probably going to crack up if I was doing that, because she knows I don't do that. So she's probably going to go, my boyfriend would probably say, oh, isn't she cute? You know, she never really yells. That's cute. I like to see her. Ah, she's right there. Someone else might go, hey, why is she yelling at him? Yeah, we're going to have, like, everybody's going to have a different experience. You're not going to like it. Some people are going to start feeling sympathetic for you, but there's like all, it's all going on. And I'm just yelling. I might not actually be angry. We don't know, right? What if I was acting? So if you, where does the anger that you're sensing, where does the anger come, where is it? Where does deliciousness exist? Isn't that weird? Is that weird?
What if you really are angry?
Okay, I really am angry. Chantel. How dare you ask me that?
But wouldn't it exist in your mind? Well, I mean...
Does it matter what's happening right here? Fish? Clouds? Bring it all together. Bring it together. What do we got? Give her the microphone. But I don't know what to do with that. Now she's getting angry. No, I'm kidding. Just think about it for a second. So the fish, what are the fish? What do they represent?
I'm kind of lost.
That's okay. So I'm going to talk you through. So the fish in the ocean, we were to like not look at the fish because the fish are like our thoughts. So if we don't look at the thoughts, which can represent delusion and all the negative things are just the thoughts, you know, that are happening, and we want to put them away, our mind is just clear and knowing, like the ocean. So if you get really pissed that I'm yelling, or that just, you know, the anger is, it's not really, I mean, it seems like it's coming from me, but it's like a thought arising in your mind of anger. Isn't that weird?
Angry fish.
Yeah, it's like angry fish. Angry clouds. But if you disassociate from them and you decide, poor Jill, she's really struggling. She looks like she's going to blow a gasket.
Show me your gasket.
Show my gasket. She's going to blow a gasket. I'm the $6 million woman. So if I'm going to blow a gasket, then if you raise your compassion towards me, you can kind of, can you feel that you can let that just go? I mean, it's hard. But if you just don't get involved, that's what the meditation was doing, right? You just don't get involved in the thoughts, and you just kind of look at me. Or you pat me a little and say, I'm sorry. It looks like you're having a difficult moment, like a teenager is having a difficult moment. Isn't that kind of strange to think of doing that?
Well, I think that's what she meant. She is asking, there is anger in you, but...
Well, we don't know that.
There's not really...
You don't know that.
You don't
there
know
isn't
that
me.
At all. There's no way you can look into her mind and see if she's really angry.
It doesn't matter.
There's just no way you can look into her mind. Well, that's kind of advanced, but
I don't mean it
that way. I don't mean it that way.
There's no way that you can know what's going on in anybody's mind all day long we're making up stories. And it's starting from a seed thought. Oh, we're bringing it back. That actually worked. Seed thought, story. So the seed thought arises, and you, I'm just, here's another way to look at it. Remember Peanuts Gang? How did the parents sound? Do it for me, Chris, with the microphone. No, you can't. Wah, 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 wah. Those are just sounds. So what if you actually thought about the fact that my words have been spoken in this language for how many years? No, in this language. Yeah, these words right here. How many years have they been used?
You use a lot of slang this
If I use the word mind or ocean, or you know, how long has that English word ocean existed? Not that long, really, right? English. Hundreds of years. It's only hundreds of years. Yeah, just hundreds of years. But how long? The point is that there really are just sound waves coming out that we've attributed to be a language. So do you see what I'm saying? There's nothing actually coming out that has any inherent. That's some gesticulating going on. That's why swearing should be allowed. There's nothing really happening. But Mom, so there's really nothing coming out of my mouth that is literally one thing. They're just sound waves. So if you could just look at what I'm saying as sound waves, they're not sticky. They wouldn't be like Velcro. He's like, yeah, you're getting it. And it fits, doesn't it? If you just look at people and things that are going on in your life, everybody's driving around you, and it starts to feel kind of fluid. And you don't have to bump into everything and get attached to it and get aversion and anger and all these things arising. It's so smooth and so much easier when you realize every single solitary thing that happens is coming from your own mind, and that's the only place it's coming from. Not coming from me. So I'm talking right now, but you're having thoughts. And the only thing that really matters is that however you interpret it, that's what matters to your brain and your mind are your thoughts. Isn't that wild? Who's having a moment? Okay, only me. That's cool. It's 8:30. All right. So that's cool. Any comments on that before we leave?
I wanted to. When you say everything is in the mind, isn't it that everybody has a different resonance body? It's for an example, when you have a sound. If you have a piece of wood or a string, the wood's not going to react. If it's just raw wood. But when it's turned into like shaped wood of a violin, then it's going to resonate.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody, some people resonate to anger. Some people resonate to other things.
Yeah.
So it's, how does that work with the mind? The mind is, why do some people then naturally react much more? They have to work much harder than other people.
What's the one word for that? Karma. And we're not talking about karma tonight. Yeah, it's karma. It's just you're bringing it to the table from the continuum of the mind, where everything's coming from. But you have habits and seeds and everything from your karma that's bringing it through. And so that's why you pick up country music and you pick up rock and roll, and because we pick up a certain channel, and the attachment we feel for certain people and the aversion we feel for others and the lack of equanimity, more equanimity, is all our karma. But it's it's in the mind. It's just in the mind. Who knows the singer Beck we talked about last week? I wake up to the song. Do you remember what I told you I wake up to? It's all in the mind. It's all in the mind. All in your mind, all in your mind. And every day I wake up, I don't use it every day, but when I use my alarm, I wake up to remind myself it's only happening in my mind. It's not happening and I can't control what's happening in her mind as much as I try. Sweet. She didn't see me.
No, I'm just thinking of the song I wake up to. And
oh.
I wake up to Long Live the Reckless and the Brave.
We should switch one day and see what that does for us. So, So, yeah, question. Comment. There we go.
Oh, hey. Live check.
Ready?
So, yeah, no. You had said that, these auditory waves are obviously intangible and you cannot... You can't feel them. What about someone who is actually, coming at you like physically or something
like that.
Of that nature? Then, in that case, I would think that, that's different and that is more tangible. That was just a thought I had there.
Yeah. Well, so it happens. Contact. This is where it gets tricky. Here's the scale again. And this time I've nicked my finger and I need a little Band-Aid. I lost my arm. So if you walk up to me, what's your name?
Kyle.
Kyle walks up to
Kyle.
Me. Kyle? Yeah. And cuts my arm off. I'm probably going to feel it because I'm not, I have no ability to not feel that.
You'd still feel a paper cut?
Yeah, I'd still feel a paper cut, true. But the anger that arises or the thoughts that arise are going to be a little different. Maybe, but if I get a paper cut, or if I get my arm cut off, but there's still just thoughts. So of course I'm not able to not have a thought. If like, oh, okay, so what do you want for dinner?
Yeah, you'd probably be mad if I cut off your arm.
I'll have more thoughts with this one, and I'll just be like, oh, but it is just a thought.
Okay, thank you.
And that's tricky, isn't it? But that's the point. Is if we're trying to get We're trying to move that line so that we, and I'm not talking about so that we can lose our arm, okay? But we're trying to move the line so that we can handle a little bit, bearing hardship, that's how Geshe-la says it, bearing a little hardship so that people can say something to us and not like myself, we don't crumble, like I did this weekend. Don't crumble, people. So take it, take a little and just see them as thoughts and deal and realize that you're okay. I'm like, oh, I'm all right. And you'll be just a lot happier and a lot smoother. And here comes the doormat thing. It's not saying, try the other side because then maybe I won't think negative things about that. It's not about that. Just about getting more and more comfortable with being okay with the things that are happening around you. We start with simple things like the breath and fish. Cool. And we move on from there.
I like this guy.
You like this guy. He's a sky guy. Okay. All right. So is that cool? Anything else? One more?
Yeah. In the sky and the ocean meditations, I feel like that kind of, when I do the visualization, it adds more to it for me. Like
yeah. Christine asked that, but you guys didn't hear it. She likes to really visualize the sky and the ocean.
Like I feel.
Great.
I feel maybe it's better if I just look at the thoughts passing by, because when I try and put them into fish and clouds and stuff, it just makes them more calm.
Oh, you don't want to do the visualization. Oh, gotcha. That's cool, too. Yeah, these are just techniques.
So you can just look at the thoughts instead of...
looking at them and let them go.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, whatever works.
Okay.
These are just tools, yeah.
Okay, perfect.
She was saying, that's what he's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's so in that way you're just using whatever technique works, because we're all going to be trying something different. But we're just seeing, when you print these out, one thing I mentioned is you can record them on your phone or something and then let them play out for you at home. So before everyone runs out the door, we'll close and make sure, let's just take a moment to dedicate so that everything we did tonight, from the moment we decided to come to arriving, to sitting here, to doing it, to working, to doing the meditations, that everything we did, pile all of our benefit, our potential, our energy together and make it a big mound of wonderfulness. And we hope that all of that is beneficial to as many beings as possible for their future enlightenment.